The War of the Worlds. Paul Daneman plays John Nicholson in this six-part radio adaptation by John Manship White of the novel by H.G. Wells. The War of the Worlds, Part 1, The Red Planet.
I was in it from the start. I missed very few of those terrible events. Of course, I have contributed papers on aspects of the War of the Worlds to various learned journals. After all, I'm a scientist. But up till now, I've never cared to discuss the horrible affair. Well, not in its entirety. I remember that first night very clearly. All too clearly. Yes. A strange night it was. A clear night in June. Nearly midnight. In the observatory at Ottershaw with my assistant, Ogilvy. Ogilvy might have made a great name for himself, poor chap. If he'd lived through it. That midnight vigil. Prologue to many nightmare weeks. Is stamped on my memory. The black and silent observatory. The shadowed light on top of a bank of instruments shedding a feeble glow. The great bulk of the telescope. The big oblong window high up in the rounded roof. With the pale nebulae streaked across it. And the mechanism that rotated the telescope. Ticking. 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 I was lying back in the big adjustable chair, gazing through the telescope. I stared intently at a deep blue circle with a tiny planet in it. Sounds innocent enough. A little planet, bright and small and still, faintly marked with transverse stripes, slightly flattened at the poles. So little, so silvery warm. A pin's head of light. 40 million miles away. But that little planet was the red planet. Mars.
Well, anything yet?
No. No, everything in the field's quite normal.
Oh, it's nearly midnight. A few seconds to go. If it happens at all, it'll happen quite soon.
And this'll be the 10th consecutive night.
Well, anything happening?
Nothing unusual.
Do you think old Davidson's right?
I don't see why not.
Well, I don't, frankly. They've met rumours at Greenwich before. The opposition in 33, for instance.
What about Laidler's report from Singapore?
Even Laidler isn't infallible, Nicholson.
Yes, you're right. Laidler's too definite. What has he said in his cable? A mass of incandescent gas, chiefly hydrogen. How did it go?
Moving with enormous velocity towards the Earth.
Yes, the report does sound a bit highly coloured, come to think of it. But Laidler's always been very sound.
Well, I think it's a shower of meteorites, myself.
You've had meteorites on the brain ever since you were an undergraduate.
Well, what about some sort of implosion, then?
From what we know about Mars, it's not very likely.
Oh, I don't know. What's your guess, anyway?
Well, you know what a crank I am.
I suppose you've already cooked up some extra special explanation.
As a matter of fact, I have.
Well, let's hear the worst.
Isn't it just possible that someone is firing something?
Firing? My dear chap, really? That's pretty tall, you know. Even for you.
I don't see that it's so fantastic to suggest that Mars is inhabited.
No.
Not these days. We're not as dogmatic about these things as people were 30 years ago. Even 10 years ago.
Well, the chances are a million to one, several million to one.
So what?
Well,
with all these millions of stars up there, the odds mightn't be as great as you think.
Millions and millions to one.
Anyway, I know one thing.
What?
If I were on Mars, Ogilvy, I'd be making strenuous efforts to get away from it.
What do you mean?
Well, look. Let's suppose for a minute that Mars is inhabited.
Okay, let's suppose.
Mm-hmm. Well, to begin with, it's 35 million miles further from the sun than the Earth is, agreed?
Agreed.
Now, Mars gets only half as much heat and light from the sun as we do. Agreed again?
Agreed, oh, Socrates.
If the nebula hypothesis is true, then, in addition to being colder and darker, it's older than the Earth. All right?
Mm, so far.
And since it's older, it's also nearer life's end.
I have an awful feeling, old chap, that at any moment you're going to start talking rubbish.
Mars has cooled more than the Earth has. Even at the equator, its temperature is as cold as December in England. The air is scarcer there. The oceans have shrunk and dwindled. The glaciers and ice caps are creeping forward, inch by inch. There are terrible floods.
In fact, these Martians of yours are in a hell of a mess.
By now, the Martians must be perilously near exhaustion. They're nearing life's end, facing extinction, lingering death, descent into numb horror. But Mars is older than the Earth. Intellectually, the Martians must be further advanced than we are by several million years.
For all you know, they may be dead stupid or even raving lunatics.
No. I feel their minds are more intricate, more highly evolved. Their science, their mathematics are by this time at a stage that's left ours far, far behind. They're capable of staggering calculations, breathtaking feats of construction. They may by now be well equipped to move sunwards. Well, that's what they want to do. Move sunward. Sunward. Sunward, all sunward. Away from the outer darkness at the chill periphery of the universe.
An impressive flight of fancy.
I wonder what they look like, these strange stellar neighbors of ours. And I wonder what we look like to them. They peer through their elaborate telescopes and see. What do they see? Human race. And they contemplate the human race in the way we contemplate monkeys and lemurs, as talented members of the animal kingdom, beasts that perish. Have you ever watched amoeba under a microscope, Muggleby?
Yes, I have.
Well, that's how we appear through the gigantic telescope on Mars. Puny, contemptible little atomies, ripe for annihilation. They peer across the sky and see that Earth teems with life. They see it hanging in space, green with vegetation, gray with water, cloudy with fertility. They look at it enviously. It's a planet of hope. And they determine to conquer it in their desperate surge towards the great blazing golden disk of the sun. The Earth is warm. The Earth is inviting.
What's up?
Hey, Mars. That cloud of gas, quite clear.
Notebook. Exact time, 12:04. And quick, Nicholson, let's have the description.
Reddish flash at edge. Mm-hmm. Great orange gush from the center.
Orange gush from center. Mm-hmm.
Very slight conjection of outline. It's almost imperceptible. Mm-hmm. Thin, grey, fluctuating patches spreading through the entire field of vision.
Yeah, it's odd.
Patches Patch is now beginning to obscure the familiar features.
Obscure familiar features. Right, got it. Anything else?
No. No. Ah, seems to be all. All the present.
Well, I still say it's a shower of meteorites.
Meteorites?
So what's wrong with meteorites? It fits in with those patches of grey, clouds of dust, yeah, or flakes whirling up after a bombardment.
Every night for 10 nights, as near 12, as makes no odds, we get one of these tremendous eruptions.
Well?
Are meteorites given to regular habits?
Well, they might be.
It's unlikely, isn't it?
Well, it's curious, certainly.
Well, I don't think it's any use looking for a natural agency to explain it.
But what could it be if it isn't natural?
I've told you. Someone's firing at us.
It won't do, old man. It won't do at all.
Well, I'm jolly tired. I've been watching too long. I've got green and purple patches in front of my eyes.
I'm not going to believe you, you know. Mm. It's no use trying to tell me that something's flying towards us, across that incredible distance.
Flying swiftly and steadily. 1,000 miles a minute.
No, it's all rot, Nicholson.
A mass of incandescent gas, chiefly hydrogen, moving with enormous velocity towards this Earth.
Davidson and Laidler are a couple of doddering old fools.
Mm. You know what that flash reminded me of?
What?
A colossal sheet of flame you get when a rocket lifts off.
A rocket? You think it's produced by a rocket? You're crazy!
And I think those grey patches of cloud may have been the smoke that followed the blast-off.
If you aren't careful, Nicholson, fairly soon one of our leading astronomers is going to be drummed out of the Royal Society.
Oh, well. I'm entitled to my opinion.
I tell you, the chances against Mars being inhabited are 1,000,000 to 1.
I think they're on their way, Ogilvy. Rushing through outer space towards us. Creatures with minds more ancient, more cruel, more comprehensive than our own. Intellects vast and cool and unsympathetic. Bent on migrating sunwards. Bent on the extermination of the monkeys and the lemurs.
A few weeks later, it arrived. The first of the falling stars, as we called them at the time. It was seen early in the morning, high over Winchester, rushing eastwards with a broad green streak in its wake. Must have been a very pretty sight. Hundreds of people must have seen its final plunge to Earth. Unfortunately, I missed it. The first I heard of it was when someone charged up the drive to my house and thundered on the door.
All right.
I'm coming. Wait a minute. Ogilvy.
Come on, old man. Oh, I've had your breakfast.
But damn it all, I haven't started it yet. What's happened?
A meteorite's fallen. A blacking great meteorite.
You and your blasted meteorite.
Look, if we hustle, we'll get there first before anyone starts fooling around with it.
Oh, do you mean it's here? In Surrey?
Oh, right on your own doorstep.
But I'm blown.
Well, didn't you feel the thump?
No.
It's up on Horsell Common.
On the Common? My God. All right, hold on. I'll go and get my camera.
Well, hurry up. Yeah. I've got my car.
Yeah, oh, I better tell Dora I'm going out.
What a bit of luck, eh? And just when I'm writing a book on the damn thing.
Well, good job it didn't fall on Woking.
Dora! A couple of miles and it would have done. Bang in the high street.
Dora!
What is it, dear?
I'm going out with Ogilvy.
You haven't had your breakfast yet.
Yeah, well, something's turned up. It's rather important.
Well, don't be late.
For heaven's sake, man, come on.
What part of the commons it landed on?
Near the sand pits.
Oh, well, what about a map? We'd better mark it, hadn't we? What about measuring?
Oh, come on, for heaven's sake, or we'll have half the village out there poking about before we can stop them.
Well, we're not policemen, damn it. We're scientists. Oh, nobody's going to steal your blessed meteorite, are they?
Well, they might chip bits off for souvenirs or something. If it's cooled down enough for them to get near it. Do you mind? Thank you.
Excuse me, sorry.
Thank you. Please, make way.
Do you mind?
Oh, what a mob. What did I tell you? There must be half a county here.
Never mind. No damage done. Old Holroyd seems to be keeping him in order. He must have nipped up on his moped.
Now, then, keep back, please.
Well, he stopped from getting down into the crater, anyway.
Here, you kids. Stop chucking stones at the thing. I'm not going to tell you again. You go on home to your mothers.
Good morning, Sergeant.
Good morning, Mr. Ogilvie.
Well, you got up here quickly.
I caged a lip in the squad Gaza.
Well, you managed to keep the hole clear, I see.
I thought you gentlemen from the observatory might want to come along and take a look at it. No sense in mucking about with it. Constable! Yes, keep those kids out of the way.
Sergeant, I've sent a wire to Sir James Stent, the Astronomer Royal.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yes, he's our colleague. Our superior, actually. He's driving down from London.
I see, sir.
He'll be here about midday, if he hasn't heard the news already. And he might possibly bring the Chief Constable with him.
Chief Constable, sir?
From a scientific point of view, this is a very important event, you understand. Big meteorites are rare.
They must be, sir. Chief Constable, eh?
Now, what about you and that officer over there, getting a local farmer to rig up a light railing round the thing?
Well, I'll try, sir. Anything to stop these brats from breaking their necks?
Good. Certainly came down with a bumper, will they? Spattered sand and gravel all over the shop.
Set a good half mile of bracken alight, too.
Top of its rim, 20 feet below ground level.
It must have been travelling at a really colossal speed.
Yes. Yes, even when you make allowance for it burying itself in fairly soft sand.
Looks pretty formidable from up here.
Formidable?
Well, sinister.
I never expected to see you shying away from a meteorite.
No, it's not that. It's just rather uncanny. When you think where it's come from, flying from millions and millions of miles through space.
Yeah, well, it's no good hanging about and staring at it with our mouths open like everyone else. Come on, let's go down and inspect it at close quarters.
I say, now look at the earth and turf around the crater. Charred. What is that, do you think?
Probably some sort of fire flash on impact, isn't it? Sergeant?
Sir?
We're going to go down into the pit.
Right you are, sir. I've sent the constable to see about getting some cheap hurdles or some chicken wire and wooden stakes.
Good man.
There'll be another squad car along in a minute.
Good.
Come on, Ogilvie.
We won't need a ladder.
Right.
Just hang on the edge and lower your body and let go. We can take it in two stages.
You go first.
It's quite an easy drop.
The size of it. The great grandfather of all meteorites.
What do you reckon it is across? 50 feet?
More like 60.
Mm-hmm. Ogilvie, I thought meteorites were round.
Well, so they are as a general rule, especially large ones.
Well, you take a good look at this one.
Yes, I see what you mean.
This one's definitely cylinder-shaped. It's very odd. Let's have a scrape of this clinker stamp on it. It comes off quite easily. That's the effects of combustion, I suppose. Yeah, clinker, all right. Grey clinker. Unusual texture.
What?
Oh, your meteorite's still pretty warm, Ogilvie. It's not surprising, I suppose, when you think of the friction coming down through the atmosphere.
I'm making a rough drawing of it.
Funny looking stuff, this clinker. Sort of scaly.
Yes. You've done some metallurgy, haven't you? What do you make of it?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know at all. And what's more, I don't know why we were prattling about this being cylinder shaped. It is a cylinder.
What? You're right.
Listen, I'll use this bit of rock. Huh? That's metal. No doubt about it.
You know, I'm starting to dislike the thing. It looks like a half buried gasometer.
This grey, scaly material isn't a common oxide, either. I don't know. Do Did you see it land?
Yes, I was shaving, actually. It had a kind of long, emerald-coloured tail.
Emerald-coloured, was it? Mm. I wonder what sort of oxide would give off a colour as bright as that.
Listen.
I don't hear anything. Oh, yes. Yes, a sort of a crinkling noise. Well, it's the unequal cooling of the cylinder's surface, I suppose.
Look here. This, cylinder business. Are you suggesting this thing isn't a meteorite at all?
I should have thought that was pretty obvious.
Well, then what the devil is it?
You remember what we saw when we were watching Mars last month?
You mean you'd connect it with those flashes?
Certainly I would. Was Laidler ever proved wrong?
Well, no.
This cylinder was made by human hands. By Martian hands, anyway. If they've got hands, that is.
You'll be telling me next it's got messages and coins and models in it. Like the cylinders they sink below foundation stone.
It's an exciting possibility. Yeah, it's cooling fast.
What was that?
Well, it's only those children throwing stones, eh? Mm. Or more scales dropping off it as it loses heat. There's a slight crack in the shell here. Nothing much. I can just see what the metal's like inside. It's a kind of yellowish white. Oh, whatever it is, we'd better label it extraterrestrial for the time being and leave it at that.
Nicholson.
Yeah, hey, here, this crack's wider than it was a moment ago.
Nicholson, the circular top.
What?
It's rotating.
What?
That black mark. It was over here 5 minutes ago. No, it's traveling round the other side. There. It's moved another couple of inches.
This is fantastic. That sound is from the inside of this cylinder.
Oh, my God. There must be a man in it. There must be men in it.
Now, now, keep your head open, for God's sake.
You've got to do something
wrong down there, Mr. Ogilvy.
There are living right. People in there. They're half roasted to death.
Now, calm down, man.
Yes, but...
Calm down. But,
Nicholson, they're trying to escape. They're trying to get out.
Yeah. You want to hand down there?
Yes, we've got to get out of this hole. Hold me, Nicholson. Damn you. We've got to get help for them, I tell you. Workmen, pickaxes, levers, anything.
Don't be a fool. Oh, God,
go with me.
You don't know what's in there. They may need less help than you think.
No, we've got to get them out.
Wait. Hey, Sergeant! Have you got a rope up there?
God, what can we do?
There'll be one in the boot of the car, sir.
Well, throw one end down, will you? Mr. Ogilvy's coming up.
Hello down there.
Nicholson.
Nicholson?
It's
what's
stent.
Going on?
Well, we've got to help them.
For heaven's sake, get a grip on yourself, Ogilvy. You don't want him to see you like this, do you?
You lucky beggars bagging all the glory. Well, stand clear. I'm coming down.
No, don't do that, Sir James.
What?
Don't do that.
Well, why not?
Well, tell him.
The top's unscrewing.
What top?
This isn't a meteorite.
Not a meteorite.
Don't come down. Yeah. Ogilvy will tell you about things when he's up there.
Yeah.
Something's going to happen any minute now.
Well, I think you two had better pack up down there for a while.
Oh, my God.
Here's the rope, Mr. Nicholson. Coming down now.
Right, all right.
Got in here. Let's have that.
Now, yeah. Now, listen, Ogilvy, get up there.
Right.
And explain things to Still.
Yeah.
I think you can manage.
I think so.
Good. All the way, Holroyd.
Right now, sir.
And Holroyd.
Yeah?
Clear everyone off the common.
I will, sir. Right away.
Aren't you coming, Nicholson?
When you're up the top, leave the rope where it is. I may need it in a hurry.
Well, don't leave it too long.
I was alone in the pit. By this time, 2 feet of shining screw projected at the enormously thick top of the cylinder. I remember beating on it with a stick. Heaven knows what effect I imagined that would have. I probably had a mental picture of a crowd of poor devils inside, sizzling, blackened and helpless. Air began to escape from the interior. I kept a wary eye on that rope. I was petrified. But I was also, at the same time, intensely curious. That crinkling. It only suggested a feeble stirring, but the shell was thick. It may have represented an agonized tumult. I wanted to be the first to see the Martians. I can't recall what I expected them to look like. Whatever I expected, I was wrong. Utterly, abysmally wrong. There were faces craning over the top of the hole. Polaroid, Stent, Ogilvy, Greg the butcher and his little boy, a couple of golf caddies. A jobbing gardener I sometimes employ.
Do you hear, Nicholson? Come out of there!
What's going on?
Nicholson!
10 miles there! I'm coming out! I seized the rope and scrambled up the burnt grass and charred gravel of the crater. Below me, I heard a curious noise. Everyone was scattering. The whole crowd was fanning out over the heath. A couple of people nearly fell in the hole in their haste to elbow their way through the crowd. Everyone was legging it like hares. Stent and Ogilvy went with the rest, and Holroyd brought up the rear. I was on the lip of the crater now. For a moment, I thought of running for it with the others, but instead, I flung myself down and crawled cautiously back to the edge. The lid had fallen off. Suddenly, I found myself staring down into a huge, dark cavity. A great, black, empty circle. I couldn't see anything at first. And then, something stirring in the shadow. Grayish, billowy movements, one above the other. And then, two luminous discs, like eyes.